Blog Talk Radio.
Do you watch Fox News all day? Are you dizzy from conservative spin? Are you a birther or teabagger? You might be suffering from a condition called barachnophobia. If so, the only cure is Liberal Dan Radio.
Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Central on Blog Talk Radio.
Warning, Liberal Dan Radio is not a substitute for doctor's advice. Severe cases of barachnophobia may require psychiatric help. This may prove expensive if Republicans repeal health care. Listening to Liberal Dan Radio may cause you to embrace things like facts, logic, and reason. If these symptoms last for more than 4 hours, you have been cured. For more information, go to LiberalDan.com. Back to Liberal Dan Radio, talk from the left, that's right. This is your host, Dan Zimmerman, coming at you from New Orleans, Louisiana. To join in the conversation, it's area code 347-838-8368. That is the area code 347-838-8368. You can also join in the chat room and ask questions there on blogtalkradio.com/liberaldan. You can also, if you're at Blog Talk Radio, you can use your Skype button and connect via Skype. And finally, if you're listening after the live broadcast, you can always leave your comments, questions, concerns, etc. on the thread of on the show webpage over at liberaldan.com. Today, got a bunch of stuff to talk about, but going to come back. We haven't done this in a few episodes, so going to do a regular bit that I like to do is this week's headlines. A video has been making the rounds showing singer Rick Astley singing Uptown Funk. Apparently, he won't give up singing either. Nor should he. He actually nailed it. With all the Confederate backlash, New Orleans Mayor Mitch Landrieu was suggesting that we take down the monument to General Lee and replace it with something else. Perhaps a rename isn't necessary of the circle, or a rebranding of it might be better. A Saints logo could be used, and we could call it Florida Lee Circle. Maybe famous actor Jet Li would be happy with a nod to him and call it Jet Li Circle, because we have a movie industry down here in Louisiana, New Orleans now. Or maybe a nod to music that New Orleans likes to celebrate. And we could call it Tommy Lee Circle for when Motley Crue comes to town later on in the year. After Donald Trump's campaign announcement, that included a lot of bigotry and hatred, from my point of view at least, he has parted ways with both NBC and Macy's. I guess they said, you fired. After the SCOTUS ruling on gay marriage, U.S. Senator from Louisiana David Vitter tweeted a picture of him eating Chick-fil-A. Vitter not only proved himself to be immature, but I must question his roots. He's from Louisiana. There is much better chicken than that in Louisiana, Senator Vitter. Did one of the hookers you committed, quote, serious sins with have a disease that rotted your taste buds away? Good Lord, at least get some Popeyes. Finally, Bristol Palin got knocked up. Again. Seriously. So much for abstinence only. And that's it for this week's headlines. Now, usually I save some more snarky things for this week's headlines, so before I get to the topics that I actually wanted to discuss on the show, I do want to actually talk about another thing that I neglected to mention in the show description, and that is another action that the Supreme Court took before its ending of this term. And basically, the Supreme Court just stopped Texas from closing all of its abortion clinics. Supreme Court on Monday halted key portions of the Texas anti-abortion law, which would have shut down all but 9 clinics in the state, and Texas is huge. The stay will remain in place while abortion rights advocates prepare to take their case, seeking to overturn portions of the Texas law to the Supreme Court. The 4 most conservative judges, of course, dissented from the order. They would have let the clinics close. The order reads as follows. The application for a stay presented to Justice Scalia and by him referred to the court is granted, and the issuance of the mandate of the Supreme Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit in case there is stayed pending the timely filing and disposition of a petition for a writ of certiorari. I'm not pronouncing that right, I know. Should the petition for a writ of certiorari be denied, this stay shall terminate automatically. In the event a petition for a writ is granted, the stay shall terminate upon issuance of the judgment of the court. The Chief Justice, Justice Scalia, Justice Thomas, and Justice Alito would deny the application. Now, what is this anti-abortion law all about? This is one of the things that I've been talking about. Is that the rules HB 2 requires abortion facilities to comply with, quote, hospital-like standards. And the ruling basically said that it does not provide an undue burden on the majority of women in Texas who now has to travel hundreds of miles for an abortion. Only 7 of these surgical centers comply with the standards, and 13 would face closure. Now, these are the type of laws that are not needed because of the fact that some of the things in this law, most of the things in this law I'm opposed to, obviously, but the ruling exempts a clinic in McAllen temporarily from a portion of the law that requires abortion clinics to have admitting privileges with local hospitals. The McAllen Clinic failed to acquire admitting privileges for administrative reasons and was facing immediate closure. The idea that any sort of place like this would require admitting privileges is just absurd. If an emergency happens, call 911, an ambulance will come pick them up and take them to the ER, and the emergency room doctor will admit them to the emergency room. You don't need to have doctors having admitting privileges. An ER doctor can admit if there's an emergency that takes place. It's just that simple. And so this is just one of the reasons. I've talked about this before, but it's just one of the reasons to prove that these laws are not about, they're not about women's safety. They're just about using governments to push religious views on women who don't believe with them. It's as simple as that, period, end of story. There's nothing you can say that will make me agree with you if you disagree with me on this. Absolutely nothing at all. These laws are plainly and clearly about taking away the right of women to have body autonomy. So let's go ahead and take the first commercial break. Buttons don't like to be pushed, apparently, on these new... It looks like there's a new setup here on Blog Talk Radio. Anyway, take your phone calls as well, 347-838-8368. That's area code 347-838-8368. This is Liberal Dan Radio. Talk from the left. That's right.
Are you planning a trip to Disney soon? Do you want help avoiding spending mistakes and making the most of your vacation? Then check out BudgetEars.com, a new site devoted to helping you get the most mouse for your money. What kind of ticket should you get? Is the dining plan a good deal for you? Should you stay on grounds or not? Should you buy park hoppers? Many other sites are filled with information about what other people like to do, but BudgetEars is geared to help you make the best decision for you. So check out BudgetEars.com or go to YouTube.com/BudgetEars and help make your trip the best it can be. BudgetEars.com is not a travel agency and it is not affiliated with the Disney Corporation or any of its holdings.
I am sick and tired of the propaganda in today's media. You know, we can't have a sane discussion about politics. Well, yes, you can, and it's on RLJS Radio Live with the girls, Monica R.W. and Autumn S. I'm there every week when they discuss Michigan and national politics, job search, unemployment, and more from an independent left, sanity-based point of view. So, tune in. RLJS Radio Live, Saturdays and Sundays at 11 a.m. sharp here on the Blog Talk Radio Network.
And welcome back to Liberal Dan Radio. Talk from the left, that's right. This is your host, Dan Zimmerman, coming at you from New Orleans, Louisiana, to join the conversation. It is area code 347-838-8368. That's area code 347-838-8368. Again, you can also click with the Skype button. That will allow you to join in if on blogtalkradio.com, or you can also ask questions in the chat room. Finally, if you're listening after the live broadcast, if you've downloaded the show via iTunes or any other sort of podcast streaming service that can locate them and download them, or if you're just downloading it from the Blog Talk Radio site itself, or just listening live, listening to it on the site without downloading it, you could do that as well. You can leave your comments, questions, concerns, etc. on the show webpage, liberaldan.com. Prue just was discussing the stay on the Texas abortion law. That's ridiculous. And now we're going to be getting into the good meat of the show. We have three things to talk about, first of which being marriage equality. I had a pretty strong feeling that this would be a 5-4 ruling, and it turned out to be a 5-4 ruling. I was pretty sure who would be the 5 and who would be the 4, and as we all know, that's exactly what happened. I was so happy that day just because of the fact that, you know, I have a lot of good friends, people who I know care about, who, you know, regardless of whether or not they were married in one state where that currently allows, previously allowed gay marriage before Friday, or they're in a state like Louisiana that did not want to even comply with it after the ruling took place, if you've been paying attention to our lovely governor down here, you will see that those people, let's say somebody had to move. Let's say you got married in a state that allows gay marriage, but then you had a job opportunity. Before that ruling, you would have to go look and see, well, is this state gonna keep my relationship intact? Am I going to have the same legal protections? And now you don't have to worry about that, because now marriage is legal in all 50 states. You can now be married in all 50 states if you're a same-sex couple. And, you know, some interesting things have been going on. You know, Jindal's trying to protect, supposedly, these clerks who may or may not want to follow the ruling. Of course, it's ridiculous. It's the law. There was one person, I think of Mississippi. I'm not sure. I forget her name. You know, she'll go off into the distance soon enough. And she basically announced that because of the ruling that she was going to quit, because she could not in her good conscience perform or license same-sex individuals. Now, I'm all for churches not being forced to marry people in violation of their religion. That's absolutely protected by the First Amendment, and that was the case prior. I brought up Popeyes when discussing David Vitter. And he, the owner of, or creator of Popeyes, Al Copeland, he was married 4 times in the eyes of the state. The first marriage took place in a Catholic church, but he divorced that first wife. But the Catholic church didn't consider the marriage terminated, only the state did. So when Al Copeland wanted to get married a second time, he could not force the Catholic church to marry him and his new bride, because that marriage would be a violation of church law. So he had to get married somewhere else. And then he divorced, and then he got married again. Again, could not get married in the Catholic church because the church would consider him to be married to his first wife. Divorced. But then by this time, wife number one passed away. So when he went to marry wife number 4 in the eyes of the state, the Catholic Church allowed him to get married in the church again. So So his fourth wedding was in the church. First wedding was in the church. Fourth wedding was in the church. But according to the Catholic Church, his first wedding was in a church, and his second wedding was in a church. So therefore, there are two different things here. We're not talking about the holy rites of, R-I-T-E, of matrimony, holy matrimony. We're talking about civil marriage. So it should not be a violation of your code to pass out a license, a marriage license, to an individual who is basically, well, for all intents and purposes, is a contract. Any more than it would be against your religion to hand out a piece of paper to a Catholic and a Jew if you were Catholic. And you wouldn't want to see them get married in your church because it's a violation in church. But if you would hand them a marriage license, if that doesn't offend you, but the gay marriage does, then you're a hypocrite. But this woman, again, don't care about her name. I don't care who she is, whatever. She did the right thing. She is opposed to it. She does not want to perform these, you know, she does not want to hand out the licenses. So what does she do? She quit. Good. Don't let the door hit you on the ass on the way out either. Why? Because if she doesn't want to do them, that's fine. But she shouldn't be drawing a paycheck either because she's not doing her job as required by the law. So, more people, if they agree with her, you shouldn't be protected by lawsuits. You shouldn't be the Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal should not be coordinating legal help with you on a, quote, case-by-case basis to help protect your abilities to protect your religion. No, if I was opening a restaurant and let's say I wanted to change from a kosher restaurant to a non-kosher restaurant, and I wanted to serve bacon, and the Jewish cook was like, look, I can't cook bacon. And I'm like, well, look, I can't hire you. You know, I don't have to, you know, necessarily hire somebody. You know, so if somebody doesn't want to, you know, prepare meat because they're vegan or vegetarian, then they're not going to work. They're not going to go apply to work as a butcher or as a cook or a chef in a restaurant that serves meat. It's that simple. So I'm more than happy that she quit. Good riddance. And maybe there'll be a slight shortage of people in the short term if all these people start quitting, but people will take their place. People who are willing to do the job. And we will be one step closer to having equality in this nation, because we will now never have a case, or should never have a case, like the Lisa Pond case, where people can, you know, deny marital rights to people because they'll be married. It'll be simple as that. And people are saying, oh, now, people bring up all sorts of things. Yeah, now this is your worst nightmare because now gay people who don't want to get married don't have the excuse that the law won't allow them. Well, you know what? Tough crap. You know, that's the right, you know, I didn't have to marry. And nobody's forced to marry people that they don't want to. Just like nobody's forced to, you know, just like we shouldn't be forcing people to not get married, we shouldn't be forcing people to, you know, get married either. So if somebody doesn't want to get married, that's their right. It's as simple as that. So the idea is that, you know, people are coming up with some crazy, crazy stuff. Like somebody was trying to, a couple weeks back, a couple shows back at least, I was doing a show on libertarianism, and I was doing a show on libertarianism and why I just can't agree with a lot of what they say, a lot of what they do, because it's just, it doesn't make sense. So somebody was trying to make the argument that people, it was a libertarian argument, and it started off by saying that, you know, the federal government or the state government shouldn't be discriminating against people and telling them what contracts they can't sign and what they can't sign. And so on that side of the argument, you know, liberals and libertarians can agree and say kumbaya. But then when libertarians jump off the cliff jump the shark while doing so, and then do some other crazy things that, you know, crazy should make some other crazy suggestions that, this is basically what it comes down to. He was basically saying that this ruling is an expansion of government power. And I firmly and 100% disagree with that statement. And here's why. You have the 10th Amendment. The 10th Amendment gives powers not given to the federal government. It gives those powers to the states. And I've made this discussion before, that this is why I felt that this ruling was going to come, or should come down in the way that it did, because that while the 10th Amendment does allow, and this is why I was okay, there was those two sets of rulings that I didn't necessarily see how they could mesh together, how you could rule that a state had the 10th Amendment right or authority to, not right, but authority, to define marriage as it sees fit in overturning part of DOMA, whilst making the other argument that states can't deny people equal protection under the law. You know, I was having a hard time coming to grasp with how these two were going to ultimately end up together. And then I finally came up with it myself, and then other people made it as well, which was that the states do have the authority to define marriage as they see fit, but if it's not an unlimited power, and they must, and though the 10th Amendment does not exist in a vacuum, and the states cannot deny people equal protection under the law. So any marriage laws that would be in place could not deny equal protection under the law to citizens or persons living in that state, and as such, those gay marriage bans would be unconstitutional. Now, what does this mean for the libertarian 10th Amendment type folks? Well, who are making this argument, say this is a power grab by the federal government. Again, I strongly disagree that this is a power grab by the federal government, because what this did was the federal government always had the power to come in and say that state law is denying individual citizens equal protection under the law since the 14th Amendment was passed. That power exists. That power is there. It is not an increase in power. So whenever government acts to stop a state from acting in a way that denies people equal protection under the law, you are not expanding federal government power. So what are you doing? You are restricting state power. You are saying this state, actually not even restricting it. You're basically saying the state went too far in trying to assert its authority over its citizens, and as such, it needs to be restrained. It needs to be reeled in. It needs to be handled. And that's what the 14th Amendment does. That's why the 14th Amendment is one of my two favorite amendments. My second one, of course, is the 9th Amendment, because it's the redheaded stepchild of amendments. It hardly ever gets discussed, except by notorious RBG Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who did bring up 9th Amendment rights that are oft ignored. Again, in case you don't know what the 9th Amendment says, it basically says that non-enumeration of certain rights shall not be construed to deny those others, to deny them to the people. Basically, just because people want to say marriage is not a right. I ask a person, why is marriage not a right? Well, marriage is not listed in the Constitution. Well, the 9th Amendment disagrees with that logic, sir or madam. The 9th Amendment clearly states that non-enumeration of certain rights shall not be construed to deny those rights from the people. So that's why it's one of my favorite amendments, even though it is hardly ever used. But the 14th is often used. In many cases, the federal government has acted under its authority of the 14th Amendment, be they with congressional votes and laws that are created, you know, for to protect people equally under the law, to make sure that states, you know, that people commit committing crimes in states that might turn their eyes to certain racist crimes. You know, that's why you had other hate crime legislation passed. But it's also why the federal government, the courts, have the authority to come in and tell the states, no, your laws are wrong. Your laws are encroachment on the rights of the citizens of the United States who are living within your borders, and as such, you cannot have these laws anymore. So not only did this ruling knock out any law, this ruling knocked out the constitutional amendment to gay marriage that was codified by the citizens of Louisiana, and guess what? Again, I could not be more happy about this. Fortunately, to some of our gay citizens, they're going to lose a favorite watering hole. Apparently, the Oz down here in New Orleans is declaring bankruptcy. Hopefully, I would imagine. I would think that there would be a huge influx of spending down there in the French Quarter, where all the gay bars are, in celebration and with the ruling that took place. But you know, it's not necessarily. I guess I didn't get too drunk or too wild or too crazy, but you know, of course, I haven't heard any first-hand accounts from several of my more lively and outgoing friends who are gay. So I haven't gotten a full. I'm not going to use that term. I'll instead use a full play-by-play instead of the other thing I was going to say. That would have been funny. Anyway, let's go ahead and take the news break. I'll come back and take your calls as well, 347-838-8368. That's area code 347-838-8368. This is Liberal Dan Radio, talk from the left, that's right.
Listening to WIN, Workers Independent News, a production of Diversified Media Enterprises.
For Workers Independent News, I'm Joanne Powers. With negotiations over a new contract stalled, bus drivers and mechanics in Milwaukee, Wisconsin walked off the job at 3 a.m. Wednesday morning, beginning a three-day work stoppage. Transit officials on Friday offered a four-year contract that included a paltry 1% raise in 2017, larger employee contributions to health care premiums, and an increase in hiring of part-time workers. Members of the Amalgamated Transit Union, Local 998, voted overwhelmingly Monday to reject the contract. James Macon is president of the union.
We believe in family-supporting jobs. Why would we agree to them bringing 400 part-time workers in with no benefits and not paying into a pension that will eventually deteriorate because you don't have people paying into it? You just have people collecting.
The stoppage is expected to affect 150,000 daily riders, plus thousands attending Milwaukee's Summerfest Music Festival. But Macon hopes it will spur transit officials to stop stalling.
We didn't want to go on strike because strike may be 3-4 months. We're not trying to do that. We want to get something done within the next 3 days to get our people back to work, get the passengers back on the bus.
Communications and electrical workers began negotiating a new contract with Verizon on June 22nd. On the very first day of negotiations, the company delivered their comprehensive proposal, demanding a broad array of concessions. Members of the Communication Workers of America and the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers are bargaining jointly and are particularly concerned about proposed concessions in job security, pensions, and health care. IBEW Local 2222 business manager Miles Calvi.
They are, quite frankly, gutting anything we have in the contract. I don't think they missed anything. We have one huge article, job security, which would allow the company to go into instant layoffs. Rather than eliminate contractors, they want to eliminate job security layoff and bring in more contractors. It's not a company that's hurting by any stretch of the imagination. They just bought AOL $4.4 billion. It's nice to have $4 billion hanging around that you can just go and buy a company, but they want to gut the wireline business. I don't think they want to be in the wireline business. All of wireless is unregulated, so they can pretty much charge whatever they want and make more money on it.
The company's demands follow numerous concessions from workers in their previous contract, but Calvi has faith in the collective strength of his members.
It's definitely going to be a fight. There's no question about that. But we'll get through it. We always have. We've got a great bargaining team. CWA and the IBW are joined together at the bargaining table. It's kept us powerful. It's a pretty formidable, unified group. It's what solidarity brings when you have that type of numbers.
Workers Independent News is brought to you by the American Federation of Teachers and its 1.6 million members working to reclaim the promise of public education, health care, and public services for our students, their families, and our communities. More information online at aft.org.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Welcome back to Liberal Dan Radio. Talk from the left, that's right. This is your host, Dan Zimmerman, from New Orleans, Louisiana. To join the conversation, it's area code 347-838-8368. It's area code 347-838-8368. Or you can go to the chat room and leave a question, make a question there. Use the chat function or the Skype function in on the Blog Talk Radio page in order to connect that way, or I guess, of course, leave your comments, concerns, questions, etc. over at liberaldan.com. Now, previously, we're talking about the gay marriage ruling. Now, it's the Obamacare ruling. This ruling, I could have sworn that I had a place where I predicted a 6-3 ruling. I found a previous show where I had suggested that it might be 6-3, but or could be 5-4, but I was pretty certain that I made the bold prediction that it was going to be a 6-3. So until I find otherwise, until I give up search, I'm going to keep asserting that fact. But I asserting that belief that I at one point said that it's going to be a 6-3 ruling and that Roberts would come along for the ride, and he did. And fortunately, so did Kennedy. So we have a 6-3 ruling in charge. Now, you can go back and listen to the arguments. The audio is a little choppy. I think I was having some bad audio issues during that show. But you can go back and listen to some of the points that I was making as it came to the subsidies and why they're under question. And one of the things I really didn't go into much was why the people were bringing the case in the first case and the crazy knots. You know, I knew that they were challenging the subsidies. I knew the arguments that were being made for why they believed the subsidies were, you know, unconstitutional when given through exchanges that were set up by the federal government for the states that refused to set them up on their own. Of course, they're stupid because, you know, the idea that, you know, that Congress meant to only give subsidies in those states and not all states is absurd. And I believe, you know, and Roberts gave the opinion. So, of course, Scalia disagreed, and it was very childish in the way that he disagreed. I mean, might as well just call it SCOTUS care. But let's go back and just rewind a little bit and just talk about why exactly these people were bringing this case in the first place. Why did they have standing to challenge the subsidies? You know, because you really couldn't challenge a subsidy under the idea that somebody else is getting it and you're not, and therefore you think it's unconstitutional. It would be very hard, I think, to prove, you know, in what the court accepts as standing. Now, I firmly stand under my previous statements from previous shows that I think that they should be a little more lax on who has standing, in that if I think a law is wrong, and I should be able to challenge it regardless of whether or not it directly impacts me or not. You know, like, I should have been able to challenge, you know, what would stop me, an individual who is in a heterosexual relationship, bringing a suit challenging gay marriage? You know, I would have to prove standing somehow. Well, I could argue, well, what if my son's gay one day? You know, I could argue that I don't know if that would, you know, qualify me for standing. So I do tend to think that standing should be more liberally granted, but it's not. So So because it's not, I was having a hard time kind of placing why these people, how these people could get standing. And this is the gist of their case. It was, they lived in a state that didn't have a state-run exchange. It was only a federal-run exchange. And set up by the feds. So basically, they went to healthcare.gov to buy their things, to buy the insurance. Now, under the law, if you don't qualify for subsidies, you are not going to get fined if the cost of your insurance is going to be 8%, more than 8% of your income. Right. So what these people were saying was that they didn't want to have to pay the fine for not having insurance. And the way that the law was written, or that they're claiming that the law was written, that if they didn't qualify for a subsidy, because subsidies shouldn't be given to states under their arguments that are not in state-run exchanges or state-set-up exchanges, that, you know, because they didn't feel that they qualified for subsidies. Now, the government was saying that they did qualify for subsidies. So if they qualified for subsidies, that would make the cost of their insurance cheaper, and as such, the cost of the insurance would be less than 8% of their income, and so if they didn't buy the insurance, they would be fined. But if they didn't qualify for subsidies, because according to their logic, subsidies aren't given to states that don't, there's people in states that don't create their own exchanges, that as such, the price of their insurance would be higher than 8% of their income, and they wouldn't have to pay the fine. What kind of ridiculous backwards BS is that? You have to jump through some crazy mental leaps to basically try to say, the government's trying to give me something. Provide me with help to buy insurance. And I'm going to sue them over that fact. I'm going to sue their giving me things because it makes my insurance cheaper. What kind of crazy lawsuit is that? It's bizarre. You have something that's helping you get cheaper insurance, and you're going to sue them over it? You know, I said don't look a gift horse in the mouth, but this is ridiculous. Or it was ridiculous, and apparently the court agreed to. Because the court came in and said, nope, sorry, there are, you know. Basically, it came down to more than just exchanges by the states. It came more to just that. There were actually other words. It seemed like there was potentially the argument there that it could have gone 5-4 if the only question was, does that one little phrase limit it to state run, like by the states and not states meaning the governments or whatever. But there were other phrases too that seemed to imply that there were going that you would get an exchange plan on the federal exchange and you would qualify for subsidies. That was the intent of the people drafting the legislation. Now, was the legislation drafted poorly? Absolutely. I mean, come on. You gotta have people give it a little more than another once over. Let software developers like myself look over the legislation, not just lawyers, but people who are going to look for the exceptions and let people comb through the law better than obviously they did to miss this, because they missed it. They missed this wording because it was going to be, well, what happens if they don't? What triggers the inability? Well, let's make sure that it's worded clearly. Oops, we forgot to do that. We made the wording a little bit absurd. You know, so when you have, and if the court would have ruled against the subsidies, you would have had other words in the law that would have been weirdly worded. It would have been like, well, what did these mean? These obviously mean something. These words over here, in one hand, it seemed to imply that there should be subsidies on federally created exchanges. This word over here might seem to say that it does, that they don't. So that's why the judge is had the authority to come in and take a look and say and compare the two. And that's probably why Roberts felt that he could come along with the liberal side of the court, because clearly the intent was to make sure that everybody had an exchange. And because if you just look at the after effect of what would have happened if they didn't rule in favor of the subsidies. And, you know, again, those death spirals that they talk about basically markets imploding on themselves. It would not have been a pretty picture. Not at all. But, you know, so, anyway, so they rolled that way, and of course everybody blew a gasket, all my, you know, conservative friends blew a gasket over the fact that, oh, and they all ran the quote, they all ran the Scalia's opinion, start throwing up Scalia's opinion, and I'm like, one of my responses to one of my friends who did that was, thanks for sharing the opinion that two-thirds of the court disagreed with. Because that's what basically, if you're sitting there quoting Scalia, you're saying, okay, you're citing something that two-thirds of the court said is bunk. Because, you know, Scalia can come up with some major crazy-ass crap. And, you know, he's like an evil genius. He'll come up with, these just leaps of logic and everything. And just, sometimes it's just ridiculous. And to me, this is ridiculous. And it's funny because, you know, I mean, I was actually having a talk on the other issue, on the gay marriage issue with some of my friends on Saturday, and it was two Republican friends of mine, and both of them agreed with the ruling on same-sex marriage. There are a lot of Republicans out there who will either say, I agree with it, there's no reason to prevent it. Now, my friend had a problem with, again, how Kennedy came up with his ruling. He didn't like the all the little intricacies and things he said. He basically said, this is what I would have done. Boom, done. It's only about this issue. You know, freedom of signing contracts, et cetera. States have no reason to do that. Yada, yada, yada. Don't bring up due process. All right, whatever. But at the end of the day, he agrees with me and everyone else who supports the idea that gay people should be able to get married. Another guy, another Republican, also, you know, he's kind of the opinion of, it doesn't matter to me, it doesn't affect me anyway, one way or the other, if they're able to get married, so why should I concern myself with it? And I can, I guess, understand that. I mean, sort of, kinda, I guess. But, I mean, to me, I was having a conversation with another friend of mine today, and she basically said the same thing, where it does, you know, doesn't affect me either way, so I don't really care. And I don't necessarily agree with the whole apathy deal with it. It doesn't affect me directly either, but I still care. And I still want other people to be... Well, the joke is, why should gay people not get to be as miserable as straight people? I think... Who is it? One of the MSNBC contributors was on Real Time with Bill Maher, and he basically made a fake Freudian slip, and it was really funny. But again, I don't remember what it was. So I'm going to just ignore it for this point in time. But I don't get the not caring that if it doesn't happen to other people, it's just not me. I do care about things, even if it doesn't directly affect me. So, you know, but at the end of the day, you know, there are a lot of Republicans out there where this is not that big of an issue. And hopefully, I guess, these Republican candidates who are going to keep making it an issue, you know, maybe they'll lose people. The people won't be as excited to come out for them. And maybe they'll even go after the other side because they can't get over this ruling. They're just, or both of these rulings, they're still going to try and overturn Obamacare. That's still their goal, even regardless of the fact that it's ruled constitutional time and time again, and that they can't seem to shake it, and they have no plans to replace it. But even all that, they still just it's their quixotic quest, and they're not going to give it up. But they are going to let the Republican Party down, because by focusing on that, they will lose again. And yes, I just brought up Rick Astley again. Let's go ahead and take the final commercial break. Come back, take your calls, 347-838-8368. That's area code 347-838-8368. Liberal Dan Radio, talk from the left, that's right. If you need legal representation or advice on issues such as family law, bankruptcy law, DWI, or other civil or criminal matters, you need hands-on legal advice from someone who will treat you as a priority and not just another number. So call the law office of Sherry I. Sandler at 504-528-9500. That's 504-528-9500. Or email sandlerlaw@cox.net. I trust Sherry with my legal needs, so should you. The preceding ad was an unpaid client endorsement. Do you like fun jewelry? Do you wish you could design jewelry that is designed just for you and that tells your story? Well, with Origami Owl, you can do just that. An Origami Owl jewelry bar is a fun way to get together with your friends, hang out, and design jewelry. There is no pressure to buy, but when you host a party, either in person or online, you have the opportunity to get deeply discounted jewelry based on what the friends you invite to the party purchase. If you would be interested in holding a party, either online or in person, go to CassieZCharms.OrigamiOwl.com. That is CassieZCharms.OrigamiOwl.com, and contact Cassie today. Welcome back to Liberal Dan Radio. Talk from the left, that's right. This is your host, Dan Zimmerman from New Orleans, Louisiana. I've been talking about lots of issues about this wonderful week that we've had. We're going to finally, again, last Wednesday, I came back a week early from my hiatus because I wanted to discuss Bobby Jindal. And I have a feeling that I'm going to be discussing a lot of Bobby Jindal whilst his campaign burns brightly into the night until it implodes and becomes a flaming wreck of awfulness, and we weep because we're stuck in Louisiana with Bobby Jindal. So there was the failed Ask Bobby tweet. I mean, there was. Some other, interesting, they started off this campaign horribly. I mean, horribly. They had those little weird movies that, I don't know, it's these little three movies that it was just, I think I basically tweeted something to the effect. I'm trying to find the tweet that I tweeted back when he started. I tweeted the picture of the Jindal campaign not even having a Louisiana. Let's see if they have it now. Let's go to the cloud. Let's go to the Bobby Jindal website and see states. Nope. They still don't have Louisiana for Bobby on the Bobby Jindal website. That is just classic that they still don't have that. Oh, my God. Anyway, so it's starting off just about as badly as and embarrassingly as his little response to President Obama back in 2009. So then somebody had the bright idea to start an Ask Bobby Twitter campaign. So it's going to be Ask Bobby. And I want to see if he actually answered any of these from the Ask Bobby thing. Let's just bring that up, because that's one thing I didn't look at. But while I'm waiting on that, let's to load. The Twitterverse amazingly had, you know, responded as you know that they can and will, with they will co-opt hashtags and make them their own. And but, you know, instead of, you know, being too jokey, I decided to make some of my own poignant questions that I believe should be asked and should be answered by Bobby Jindal if he wants to be taken seriously in his presidential campaign. And basically what I did is I went, you know, some of them were from memory, and a lot of others I went back through my older blog, where I have a lot of Bobby Jindal posts over there, and I went through it and I basically just came up with as many possible questions that I could ask Bobby. So here's basically the rundown. If you haven't followed me on Twitter yet, if you should, it's at Liberal Dan Radio on Twitter. Hashtag Ask Bobby. When you saved, in quotes, the Louisiana Department of Health, why did you keep cutting after you eliminated the deficit? Again, Ask Bobby. Since you claim to have saved the Louisiana Department of Health and hospitals, why did our rankings drop during your tenure? Ask Bobby. In 2006, when you ran for re-election in LA-01, why did you claim to be running from Kentwood to Ruston when most of that was not in LA-01? A little backstory on that. He did claim that he was going between Kentwood and Ruston and everywhere in between campaigning for Congress. But Kentwood was in the northwest corner of his district, and most of his other district was southeast of it. But he went more northwest. Makes sense. Unless you're running for governor, which is what he was doing. Ask Bobby, in 2004, at the only debate you joined, do you regret shrugging off the importance of hurricane protection? Katrina came in 05. This, I ran against Bobby Jindal in 2004. I was the only one at that debate and the only one in that election to make coastal restoration and hurricane protection my top priority in Congress. Other people would be able to go up there and talk about things like health care, like the one what he was running on. And his response was, you know, coastal restoration is important, but, and then went on to start talking about some things in health care. And he pretty much ignored coastal restoration and hurricane protection, only stopping to get us a fair share of our oil and gas revenues off the coast, or at least trying to claim that he did by pushing for a particular legislation to pass. Unfortunately for him, or at least, you know, unfortunately for him, in theory, it was the Landrieu-Domenici bill that got passed, not Jindal's bill. However, it didn't stop people from saying that Jindal got us a share of oil and gas revenues. He did not. He fought the Landrieu-Domenici bill until the end of the next race. Ask Bobby, when you pushed your so-called ethics reform in 2007, why did you remove the governor's office from the public records law? I covered that last week. If you want to go listen to last week's show, I basically did over an hour on Bobby Jindal, straight. No breaks, no stopping for bits, no nothing, just all Bobby all the time. Ask Bobby, why did your ethics reforms make it harder to convict people of ethics violations? How does that make Louisiana more ethical? Ask Bobby, how is it the, quote, very best science, end quote, your words, to allow public funds to go to schools that use NESI to disprove evolution? There is a school, private school, or parochial school, I guess, in Louisiana that actually used a book that uses the Loch Ness Monster to disprove evolution, and this school caught subsidies and tax subsidies. But ask Bobby, if you were so ethical, why did you award the Schwest Corporation a $4 million grant? Was it their 130 in bundled campaign contributions? And that should say 130K in bundled campaign contributions. Because in Louisiana, you have a loophole that basically lists this as a person can donate X amount towards a political campaign. And also says the corporations are persons. So A plus B, if your corporations that you own are also separate individuals, separate people, and are under the eyes of the law, and if you have several corporations, then you can donate to a person using that many corporations. And which leads to my next tweet. Ask Bobby, why didn't your ethics reform fix the loophole that allows a person to donate X times the max, where X is the number of corporations owned? Hashtag Ask Bobby. Why shouldn't clerks who can't just follow the law and give marriage license to same-sex couples just quit? Why shouldn't they just quit? Well, one of them did, not in Louisiana, but Jindal's protecting them. There was a Louisiana Republican ad that was trying to say that John Alario, who at the time was a Democrat, was one of the most corrupt politicians. And this was during the entire 2007, I believe, campaign when they were trying to attack, you know, the Democratic Party as being, quote, unethical, a corrupt culture or whatever. But then he endorsed John Alario after John Alario became a Republican, and he tapped John Alario to be Senate president. Why, if John Alario was one of the most corrupt politicians in Louisiana, would he endorse him for Senate president? My answer is simple, obviously. Back when John Alario was corrupt, he was a Democrat, but he magically became a Republican and all sins are forgiven, apparently. Ask Bobby, you ran in 2007 on ethics reform, yet in the House you decreased ethics standards for Tom DeLay. Why? Bobby Jindal voted in his tenure in Congress during the Tom DeLay scandal to release ethics, to lower ethics standards for Tom DeLay. Lovely. Such an ethical guy. Ask Bobby, your response in 2009, you said, no American, this is the response to POTUS. In your response in 2009, you said, quote, no American should have to worry about losing health coverage, end quote. At DHH, you cut services. Why? And then I went to one of my favorites, which was I found this quote in back in the blog, in that blog. And if you remember Carnac on the Johnny Carson show, he would have a sin salabim, and he had a big hat, and Ed McMahon would be sitting there next to him, and Carnac would hold the envelope and say something, and then Ed McMahon would repeat that, and then Carnac the Magnificent would open the letter and pull it out and then read what the quotes were. So Carnac holds an envelope to his head. Goodyear, Tuck, and Bobby Jindal. So, of course, Ed McMahon would then go, Goodyear, Tuck, and Bobby Jindal. And then Carnac would open the letter and read it. Name a tire, a friar, and a liar. Another one that I gave, this is, I think, my favorite one, though. Ask Bobby, has Brown University demanded you return the public policy and biology degrees yet? You embarrass them in both areas. And then some other people tweeted, I said, since Ask Bobby won't likely get answers from Bobby, you can always listen to the last Liberal Dan radio podcast for more info on him, which is true. And you can also listen to this one, too. And there are previous ones. Just search Bobby Jindal. You'll find it. The Pope says climate change is real. This is from Risky Liberal. As a Catholic, why do you deny your Pope's authority? Are you an a la carte Catholic? Hashtag Ask Bobby. And also, Bearded Stoner, who is being awarded Tweet of the Week this week, some say your candidacy is an exercise in futility. Have you ever exercised in futility? Now, if you don't know the story, now it doesn't look like it. Typically like to end the show at 9. I schedule it for an hour and a half just in case I have to run over. But it does not appear like I'm going to have time to discuss this topic this show. So on the next episode of Liberal Dan Radio, which will take place at 8 p.m. Central on Wednesday, I've moved it back to Wednesdays now, and hopefully the things that I want to do on Wednesdays or things that I wanted to do will not then move back to Wednesdays, because apparently things like to move to the days where I put my show. Let me look real quick. Oh, God. Bobby Jindal found a Tanner Diet Coke because he's tanned, rested, and ready. Let's just see if Bobby Jindal responded to any of his Ask Bobby tweets. When did those Ask Bobby tweets take place? That was June 30th. Let's just see. I don't know. tweets and replies. Let's go there. I don't see any responses from Bobby Jindal on the Ask Bobby hashtag. I guess he realized that it was a dumb idea and didn't want to open up any more cans of worms. Anyway, that is going to be the end of this week's episode of Liberal Dan Radio. Again, you can tune in next week, next Wednesday at 8 p.m. Central. You can also find other older episodes at blogtalkradio.com/liberaldan or search Liberal Dan Radio on iTunes. You can also follow me at Liberal Dan Radio on Twitter and go to facebook.com/liberaldan and follow me there as well. So this is the end of the show today. Again, tune in next week, 8 p.m., Blog Talk Radio. Until next week, this is Dan Zimmerman with Liberal Dan Radio. Talk from the left. That's wrong. And I didn't even see these buttons are just really screwy. And they don't click as well as they used to. I have to make sure that they really get pressed. Anyway, so you'll just get to hear a little more of Untested Methods, the band that allowed me to use some of their music for free. So again, until next week, next Wednesday, 8 p.m. Central, this is Dan Zimmerman with Liberal Dan Radio. Talk from the left. That's right.